If you're like most attorneys, you didn't spend all that time and money on a law education just to end up slaving away to make someone else rich. You dreamed of an amazing lifestyle full of freedom and tons of income, and you've wondered where to go to learn how to make it happen. Welcome to Lawpreneur Radio, the podcast that shows you how to hang out your shingle. Here's your host, Miranda McCroskey.
Hi, welcome to Lawpreneur Radio. You're on with Miranda McCroskey. I'm from Wilson Harvey Browndorf. I am a practicing criminal defense attorney in Orange County, California. I have been a lawpreneur for the past 11 years. And today, for episode 192, we're on with Stephen Fairley from the Rainmaker Institute. Hi, Stephen.
Good morning, Miranda. How are you doing today?
I am really good, and I am so happy to have you on. I have been a fan of yours for probably a decade, and have been doing my best to get you on for probably the last year since I saw you at the Solo Bar Section event in Newport Beach. So I'm so glad this is happening. And audience, I want to share that most recently I saw Stephen. I spent Friday and Saturday with him a few weeks ago at the Rainmaker Institute in Marina Del Rey, California. It was a two-day workshop, and it was extraordinary. It was filled with so many takeaways. I have actually put a lot of things in place already in just the little bit of time since the retreat. So I highly recommend that. Stephen is the founder and CEO of the Rainmaker Institute. It's the largest law firm marketing company specializing in helping small to mid-sized law firms generate more leads and convert more prospects into paying clients. They have helped over 15,000 attorneys apply the proven Rainmaker marketing system. Stephen is a nationally recognized legal marketing expert and has spoken to 35 of the largest state and local bar associations. So, Stephen, I thought we'd start it off by talking about something that I found really fascinating at the Rainmaker Institute that I just attended. You talked about the theory or the philosophy that we move as small solo attorneys from a job to creating a practice to creating a business. Can you talk to us about how you define those and how we take those steps?
Certainly can, Miranda. And let me just say that it's my pleasure to be here with you and with all of your listeners, and I trust that I can provide some value and some practical steps into what you can do to move from what we call a job to a practice and a practice to a business. Those are basically the three phases or stages that law firms go through as they evolve and grow. Now, the first thing, let me just state right up front, there's no judgment about this, right? There are some people who all they want is a job. So there are some people who all they want is a practice, and there are some people who aspire to actually have a business. And people ask me all the time, what's the difference? Well, typically for a job, your gross revenues are somewhere between zero, if you're just starting out, up to about $500,000. So the majority of law firms, and it's not a magic number, but the majority of law firms, if they're grossing less than $500,000 in revenue, they have a job. Now, I asked the question of the audience, just as I asked of you when you attended the Rainmaker Retreat, is what do you want? What is your vision for your law firm? Because you started this law firm, you built this law firm, you put your heart and soul into this law firm, you're creating an entity, what do you want from it? You know, yes, you want to provide a living for you. Yes, you want to provide a living for your family. Yes, you want to increase your income. Yes, you want to leave a legacy. What do you really want, though? Because there are limitations inherent into each one of those. For example, a job, typically, you're doing it all. You're the chief cook and bottle washer. You're the person who answers the phone. You're the person who does the networking and the marketing to bring in the leads. You're the technician. You may or may not have a part-time or a full-time assistant, especially as you go through $250,000, closer towards $500,000 in revenue. But you're typically doing it all, and it's all about the hustle. It's all about just getting the business in, and you've got to sell. And if you're not comfortable with sales, with asking for the money, with handling your accounts receivable, then you're never going to break out of that job. The challenge that most people have moving from a job to a practice is loss of control, right? Miranda, I don't know about you, but I'm a bit of a control freak. How about you?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, a lot of us are, right? And so it's that loss of control of, well, what if they don't answer the phone the way that I want to answer the phone? Or what if they don't handle the client the way that I want the client handled? Or what if they don't ask for the money and get the retainer fee that I could ask because they're not as comfortable having the money conversation? And so moving from a job to a practice means that you have to give up some level of control. And in order to do that, you have to have people surrounding you, a good team of people who can support you, who can help you do some of the skills or the tasks that maybe you're not great at. Maybe you're really good at bringing in the business, but you're an okay technician, but you're not really good at that initial consultation. Or perhaps you're, you know, you're really good at the initial consultation, but you're not really good at bringing in the business. Whatever it is, all of us have strengths, all of us have weaknesses. You know, for example, one of my strengths is bringing in the business, but I'm not that good at following up. And so I have to have systems and people surrounding me that are much better at following up than I am. Does that make sense so far?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So it kind of goes back to the whole question of, what do you want? Do you want a job? Do you want a practice? Or do you want a business? And you say, well, what's the difference between a practice and a business? Here's the question that I would ask. If you went away on vacation for a month to Europe and had little to no communication with your office, when you came back home, would you A, have any clients left? B, would those clients be happy because they were being served during your vacation? And C, would you have more or less money in the bank? If you can answer that, yes, you would have clients left. Yes, they would be served in your absence, and you had somebody that could actually help them out technically to handle their matter. And C, that you actually had more money in the bank. In other words, your business, your law firm could expand and grow and bring in more revenues even if you are not there, then you have a business, not a practice. The practice mentality is kind of keep it small, keep it all, right? I don't want to pay a lot of people. I want to do the work, and I'm okay working 60, 80 hours a week forever, because the challenge with a job and the challenge with a practice is that you can never leave.
Oh boy.
So if you want to take vacations, if you want to spend time with your friends and family members, if you want to go, you know, visit the grandkids, it's very difficult to get away from a job, maybe a week or two a year, maybe at a practice a couple weeks a year. But we have clients that have created a business that allows them to take off 2-3 months of vacation a year. Big difference.
Yeah.
So those are some different phases that people go through. And again, there's no judgment here, right? There's some people that all they want is a job. There are some people that I've met that say, you know what, Stephen, I was a part of a bigger law firm and I hated the politics. I don't want to, you know, manage attorneys. I'm just not good at that. I have no interest in their egos and all of that stuff. I just want enough for me and a little bit extra so that I can feel comfortable, and that's it. And that's okay. So, yeah, so that's one of the principles that we talk about right out of the gate at the Rainmaker Retreat.
I have a couple follow-up questions to that. You talked about a revenue framework for a job, 0 to $500,000. What would you say the revenue framework is for the practice and the business?
Yeah, typically it's $500,000 to $1 million. And again, there's no magic numbers. There are times where I've seen a $400,000 law firm that's a practice. I've seen ones that are over $1 million that are still a practice and they haven't evolved into a business. Here's the thing is that understand that there are 29 million small businesses in the United States. 29 million, right? That's a lot of businesses. Now, that's using the broadest possible definition. So the guy sitting working out of his spare bedroom selling items on eBay would be counted as a, quote, business, right? You know, the lady selling Mary Kay would be counted as a business. So in the broadest possible definition, there are approximately 29 million small businesses. Less than 10% of them will ever break $1 million in gross revenue. I want you to think about that. Less than 10% of all companies in America ever break seven figures. That's shocking, right?
Yeah.
But only 4% of that 10%, so basically 0.4%, okay, ever break 10 million. So the numbers drop off pretty radically, and that's why you'll find most law firms, independent law firms, are running under $1 million because they're the same as every other business out there in America. They think they're unique, but they still struggle to break that seven-figure barrier, and that's why we talk about the seven-figure barrier and how to break it at the Rainmaker Retreat, because it is a goal of a lot of people to be able to break that seven figures. And I got to tell you, it's a heck of a lot more fun running a million-dollar law firm than it is to struggle to make $250,000 a year. It is so much more fun, and it's even more fun to run a multi-million-dollar company.
That's one of the points you made at the retreat I was in. One of the participants shared that he had $1 million practice, and you asked him, isn't it a lot easier now than it was at half a million, and particularly more than at 250,000, as you said. Yeah. Why do you think, well, let me do it this way. When I talk to lawpreneurs, I think, and I didn't know these words before going to your retreat, but I think I talk to everyone who has a job. I mean, I might be wrong, and sorry, guest, if I've got it wrong, but it seems like we're all wearing all the hats, doing it all ourselves. There's this little celebration if someone says they have a paralegal. Oh, you have a staff member. That's amazing. And I know me. I spent the last 10 years, you know, keep it small, keep it all. And now that sounds pitifully, well, I know no judgment, but I'm judging myself. Now that sounds pitifully small thinking to me after having gone to your retreat and had my mindset shifted. Anyway, the question is, why do you think so many of us hang out at the job place and don't kick it up to a practice and much less a business?
Yeah. You know, I've asked myself that question many, many times. Over the last 15, 16 years that I've been specializing in the legal industry and helping attorneys market and grow their law firms, I've had the privilege and the honor to work with over 15,000 attorneys and coach them, mentor them, train them. And I speak to a lot of solo practitioners. I speak to a lot of law firms, attorneys who have either small practices or they've evolved into a business. And I think there's a couple of things that's a real challenge for the legal industry. Number one is that they're really taught that it's a noble profession, that it's a profession, not a business. And that may have been true at one point, but certainly within the last decade to two decades, it has evolved. It has changed from a profession to a business. And I get this almost every single time I speak to a group of attorneys. I hear someone say it, overhear it in the hallways, or they ask me directly. They're like, why is that young so-and-so attorney showing up at the courthouse getting all the business when he or she doesn't know anything about the law? They only graduated, you know, 3 or 4 years ago. And it's because you were sold a myth. You were sold a dream, and the dream turned into a nightmare. The nightmare, you know, the dream that you were sold is just be a great attorney and clients will line up at the door.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how's that working out for you?
Not so hot.
For most people, it's not working out nearly as well as their law school professor told them it would. And then typically what happens right after law school is you go work for some big law firm and you see the partners making all of these gobs of money. They're making money hand over fist, or at least that's what you perceive, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're not taught how to grow a business. You're not taught how to find business. And you work there for 5, 7, 10 years, and finally someone says, hey, we're going to consider you for the partner track because you're a really good technician. Now you got to learn how to bring in the business. And you're like, what? What are you talking about? And when you can't figure it out on your own, they dead-end your job, and you hit the ceiling, and you decide either I'm going to become a technician for the rest of my life, or I'm going to go jump ship and go to a smaller firm, or go start my own. And typically, that's the career path of a lot of attorneys. And so they were never taught how to think about this as a business. Most attorneys, they never went to law school. They never, you know, had the opportunity to learn how to do this, how to run this as a business. And so I think they have a real challenge mentally. I think the biggest obstacle for attorneys moving from a job to a practice and a practice to a business is themselves. We are our own worst enemy. The second biggest obstacle are the friends that you're hanging around with. If you're hanging around people who are dead broke and you're doing okay, then all of a sudden, you don't have those kind of aspirations. And I know whereof I speak because I grew up very, very poor. I grew up in the backwoods of Maine, literally on a dirt road 22 miles from the closest city in a single wide trailer. I know what that poverty mentality is like because all of my friends had it, right? I'm the first person in my family ever to go to college, much less get two masters or a doctorate in clinical psychology. So, you know, I know what that poverty mentality is. And if you're hanging around people who are dragging you down because they don't want you to succeed, and there's a highly competitive atmosphere in the legal industry, which many people would say is not, it's gone beyond being healthy, right? It's not enough for you, you know, to want to do better. Now it's you can't allow anybody else to do better than you. And I think a lot of attorneys, when they go out and they network, they hang around with other dead broke attorneys.
So true, yeah.
When you start hanging around multimillionaires or people who are running a business, not a job, then all of a sudden you get your vision expanded. And at the Rainmaker Institute, we've been privileged and honored to help some of the fastest growing small law firms go from a job to a practice and a practice to a business.
Yeah, and those stories that you tell, I don't mean story like it's fictional, but those testimonials are amazing. You gave us a CD at the last retreat. It was the law firm. Is it Chase Bismar? Am I saying that right?
Bismar Chase, yes.
Bismar Chase. I listened to it on the way home from the retreat, and it's a lot like what you're saying. When they talk about the friends you hang out with bring you down, also the people you hang out with pull you up. And
yeah,
they say it's who you listen to in your car counts. So I like to listen to inspirational, successful people when I'm driving. And anyway, that CD that you provided was really valuable because I was listening to a businessman, clearly a businessman, talk about how he ran his business. So inspiring.
Yeah, it's amazing when you hear an attorney who's really a business guy, he just happens to be a lawyer, versus mm-hmm. when you hear the conversation of a solo practitioner that's been beating their head against the wall for decades, and they've struggled so much. You know, that John is a good friend of mine and a great guy. He actually attended one of our several of our retreats over the years, a number of times as a speaker, as a presenter. I'd bring him in as a guest speaker. And there was one time I remember very clearly in L.A., one of the attendees came up to me after he talked, and he said, "What in the world changed?" He said, "I knew John. Back 15 years ago, I had a case with John, and I kicked his butt. I beat him. He's not that good of an attorney. How did he go from a job to a practice and a practice to a business and then a multi-million-dollar business?"
Mm-hmm.
And we had a good conversation. I even remember the gentleman's name that said that to me. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, he didn't take my words to heart. And I caught up with him about a year and a half later, and guess what? He was still struggling with a J-O-B,
yeah,
right? Because sometimes we are our own worst enemy. And you've got to change your mindset if you want to upgrade your lifestyle. And that's one of the big things that we are proponents of, is building a lifestyle law firm, a law firm that actually allows you to lead the life that you want to lead and leave a legacy that you want to leave, whether it's to your friends, whether it's to your family members, to your children, to your grandchildren, or to some philanthropic organization. What do you want out of your law firm? You have to make a decision. The very first step in going from a job to a practice and a practice to a business is to make a decision that you want more than what you have. And I'm not just talking about more money, but you want more freedom. You want more control. You have bigger aspirations than just beating your head against the wall year after year, hoping and praying that next year it'll be better. Hope is not a business strategy. Right?
Not even if you write it down, right?
That's right. Not even if you write it down. So the very first thing you have to do to go from a job to a practice and a practice to a business is make a decision that you want more than what you have and you're not satisfied with what you have. And then you ask yourself, how do I get there? And there's a couple different ways that you can get there. Number one is hang around people who have already been there. Pick their brain, learn from them. Number two, hire someone, whether it's a coach, a consultant, a mentor, whatever, who has helped other law firms get to where you want to go. Make sense?
Totally. Yeah. I was waiting for number three. Absolutely. And I want to say I saw that so clearly at the Rainmaker Institute that, and you kept saying it, it was a really nice offering. You said you can do this yourself. And you gave us the how-to. We could do it ourselves, or you can hire someone to do it. Who are you going to be? Are you going to use your valuable time, you know, writing those 400 blog posts, as you suggested we needed to be a top site? Are we going to write those ourselves, or are we going to hire someone to write them? And I think the mindset of a practice or a business owner is definitely you're going to hire someone else to be the technician and do this stuff.
Yeah.
So that's what I got out of it.
Yeah, you can't do it all. To go from on it as a job, you have to do it all. In a practice, you want to do it all, and by a business, you realize you can't do it all.
Absolutely. Well, let's segue into the services the Rainmaker Institute offers. We've alluded to some of them. You want to give a quick rundown of some of the bigger ones you offer?
Sure. The thing that we're probably most well known for is our 2-day marketing boot camp. It's called a Rainmaker Retreat. And if you go to www.rainmakerretreat.com, you can hear and read about some of the testimonials from the hundreds and hundreds of attorneys that go through the Rainmaker Retreat every single year. We offer it 10 times a year, basically once a month in all the major cities across the United States. So you can come. It's a public seminar. You know, you got a pulse and a paycheck. You're welcome to come as an attorney. And we teach you 65 proven strategies on how to market and grow your business. We literally teach you how to do it yourself. And then if you're looking to go from a job to a practice or a practice to a business or take your business to the next level, then we offer a very select number of done-for-you services where we actually can help provide some of these services for you. Not all of them. We're not a full-service, you know, shop or anything like that. We're very, very good at what we do, but we're also very selective at what we do. So, for example, like one of the strategies or one of the services that we offer is content marketing and social media campaigns and newsletters and lead conversion systems and things like that.
Well, very good. I mean, you offer so much more, too. I like what you said about a select offering, though. It's clear that the things you offer, you are top of the line at. So, and the value. You show us the value, for instance, of having a monthly newsletter or having the multitude of blog posts, et cetera. I highly recommend the Rainmaker Retreat if that wasn't clear yet in my interview.
Well, I do appreciate that, and it's a great program. We're very proud of it. It gets rave reviews, and it comes with a 100% money back guarantee. Literally, like at the end of the first day, if you don't think this is the best marketing seminar you've ever been to, then just let us know, and we'll give you your money back. And I got to tell you, over the years, and we've been doing that retreat over a decade. And obviously it's evolved incredibly. We literally change up the content on a regular basis to provide you the most cutting edge information of marketing, what's working right now in the legal industry. And over the years, we've had to, or we've offered that money back guarantee. And we've had, how many people have taken us up on it?
Very few, if any.
Two. And both of them, we were glad to see him go. So it's a great program, and we love being able to see the light bulbs come on, because too many attorneys look at the people on TV and say, I could never do that. They look at the people doing billboards and the people who are on the first page of Google and they think, oh my goodness, that's going to cost tens of thousands of dollars a month, and I don't have that budget. We really specialize in teaching you guerrilla marketing strategies. The strategies that don't cost a lot of money that you can implement very, very quickly to get a great return on investment. There is a better way than what most attorneys have been doing. And I dare say that there are extremely few attorneys out there that have walked away even out of the first day, out of 2 days, and said, wow, I learned a lot. Typically you're going to walk away with a list and then a marketing action plan by the end of the event that you can actually start implementing on Monday to help make you more money.
Absolutely. I definitely did some things during the retreat on a break. I was updating my LinkedIn page based on things you shared, and I came home and started doing other things. Okay, let me say a few words to the listening audience, and then I'll come back and give you the last word. So, Lawpreneur Radio listeners, you make sure to check out Stephen's show note page, lawpreneurradio.com/Stephen with a P-H, S-T-E-P-H-E-N hyphen Fairley, F-A-I-R-L-E-Y. On that page, as always, you'll find his bio, his photo, a link to his website, rainmakerretreat.com. I'm going to put in the above post banner some information about the next Rainmaker Institute and that specific website, how you can find out more about the retreat that's upcoming. And also the answers to, basically I'll take notes from what he shared and put that on the show note page as well. Let's see, we've definitely told them how to contact you. There's going to be no confusion there. So I'll just add, while you're on there, listeners, go ahead and sign up for the newsletter. It goes out every Monday, and it highlights the podcasts that are released that week. You can click right back to their show note page from the newsletter and take a listen. Okay, so that's all for me. Stephen, what's your last word?
I believe it's attributed to Andrew Carnegie that said, if you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always got.
So
if
true.
You want something different than what you have right now in your law firm, if you're ready to play a bigger game, if you're ready to take your firm to the next level, if you're sick and tired of being sick and tired and playing a smaller game and you're struggling to make ends meet, I highly recommend join us at the next Rainmaker Retreat. It will change forever the way that you think about how to market and grow a law firm.
Absolutely. I second that. All right. Thank you, Stephen. It's Miranda McCroskey at Wilson Harvey Browndorf. You can find me there or find me here on Lawpreneur Radio. Catch you next time on Lawpreneur Radio.
You've shown that you're ready for change and are hankering to hang out your shingle. Now, take that next step and download our free guide to the 5 tools top lawpreneurs need to hang their shingle by visiting lawpreneurradio.com/tools right now. Again, that's lawpreneurradio.com/tools, and we'll see you next time on Lawpreneur Radio.